Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. We're talking again with Dr. Steve Wellum about his Systematic Theology, the first volume we've been working our way through, and he's back with us again. Good to have you, Steve.
Thanks, Fred. Great to be with you today.
All right, we are in part four of your first volume of Systematic Theology, and this part four is from biblical theology to theological formation. So you've moved from the contemporary scene, and you've moved on from hermeneutics, and now we're dealing with, first of all, theology proper. In chapter 16, which is the first chapter in this section, you gave us a brief overview of the contemporary discussion. I think it's extremely helpful that theology be put in a contemporary scene. Now, in chapter 17, you have it titled The Triune Covenant Lord Theological Overview. And here you have an overview of the doctrine of God as it's been traditionally understood, and that particularly in contrast with the views that you give us to look at in the previous chapter. I think that's helpful to do. Why don't you give us a sense of where this chapter fits in the book and why it's there?
Yeah, I mean, good question. What I was trying to do, and this is part of the sort of the whole project, is to help people think about biblical doctrines and systematic theology, and also think in terms of worldview formation. And I'm happy to continue to use that word. I know in recent days people are attacking the word worldview, right? But I'm using worldview in that whole theology and whole Christian view of God, ourselves, the world, and how we look at and interpret the world in terms of the biblical lens. And after looking at the sort of contemporary discussion, and again, that could have been much longer, but just sort of what's going on in our society in all these areas here, I try to tie and help the church think through what's going on around us and how we can address these issues. Probably 20 years down the road, things will change, right? But help to people think of our present time and then give them the tools to be able to speak to issues, 20, 30, 40 years down the road if the Lord tarries, type of thing. So after doing that, then I wanted to, instead of delving into, which we will do in subsequent chapters, a discussion of divine attributes, the Trinity, and then God's works. Just to step back, and what I'm calling here theological overview is just to answer the question, who is the God of Scripture? To do so in a kind of big picture sense, right? So I'm trying to work from big picture view, because as you get into the details, I start with giving a wonderful confessional statement from the Second London Baptist. I could have done the Westminster Confession. They're very similar, and in fact, I think the Second London Baptist even adds a bit more to the statement of the doctrine of God than Westminster does. But it's a statement, as I put it there in full. But that's a lot to digest. So we have to work through that. In subsequent chapters, we'll look at the triune nature of God and divine attributes and so on. But in this chapter, I'm trying to help the reader and help the pastor, student, lay person, Christian, think through what is unique about the Christian God over against. And then we discuss the problem of religious pluralism and philosophical pluralism and these type of things. Well, so what is the big picture of who God is, the coherent picture that we can summarize in a number of ways of speaking of God that would be handy for people as they then look at specifically the divine attributes, the doctrine of the Trinity, but more specifically as they talk to their people in society, as they contrast the Christian view of God with, you run into a Muslim. Well, what's the Christian view over against Allah in Islam? What's the Christian view over against other conceptions of God that we run into in our society, and to give that coherent sense. So it's sort of working from big picture, then we'll delve into the details. So when the external reader, that B&H sent it out to external reader to get some feedback, and I was very appreciative of of the feedback. One of the questions the external reader had says, well, you know, there's some redundancy here. You wouldn't need this chapter. And I understand what the observation was, but I found in teaching over the years, this has been helpful for people to sort of get their mind around the glorious teaching of who God is. The you know, you think of that confessional statement, that's rich. I mean, if I'm on the street with somebody, then how do I communicate the sort of the bullet points, the key points that then distinguish the God of the Bible from every other notion of God, right? And we live in a day where I think that is absolutely essential, because we have all kinds of conceptions of God and distortions. And even within Christian theology, we looked at open theism in the last chapter. They do not think in terms of these larger categories as well. So that's really what the purpose is, to give a big picture, coherent view, something that people can say in a number of points, and then think through those points. This is who God is over against the idols of the day and the gods of the day, to set the Christian view of God, the Christian worldview, the Christian theology, as utterly unique.